Amen. Isn't that great? Because He lives, we can face tomorrow. Praise the Lord. Pray with me, would you please? Father, we thank You, Lord God, that You are alive. And because You are alive, Father, we can face tomorrow. Lord, thank You that we don't have to fear tomorrow because You are there. Father, we thank You, God, that You have given us victory. Lord, we thank You, God, that You have magnified and lifted us up because we are Your children, Lord. So we thank You. Father, we're going to open Your word now. So we pray, Holy Spirit, that You'd open up our hearts and our understanding. We ask that You'd speak to us in these next few minutes, Lord, and make application of Your word to our life. For it's in Your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Well, the kids took up all my preaching time. So, good thing they're serving hot dogs afterwards because you guys are going to need your strength. Praise the Lord. It's interesting, if you're visiting with us because your children are here at VBS, we welcome you. We might be a little bit different church than you're used to. We're teaching through the Bible. We're going through it cover to cover. And we're in the Old Testament right now. We're in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 2. And it's very interesting that this week was our vacation Bible school because our scripture text this week, we're going to meet the boy Samuel as he begins his ministry. So that's kind of a cool situation. And I'll be real truthful with you. Where we are in our text is a lengthy and an in-depth portion. So I'm just probably going to kind of highlight it tonight, today. And then next week when we have more time, we might come back to this chapter and dig into it a little bit deeper. Is that cool with you guys? All right. Well, open your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 2. If you're with us and don't have a Bible, we have some at the front and the back of the church there. You're welcome to use those. And like I said, we're meeting, last week we saw, not last week, last time I was here. Did Andrew do a good job last week? You guys came back, so it couldn't have been too bad. I'm teasing. Did what did you think about Andrew as the jail keeper in the video? Yeah? Everyone did such a good job. Everyone did such a good job. It was so fantastic, Vacation Bible School. Thank you guys for allowing it to happen. Well, last time when we started the book of 1 Samuel, we saw that Samuel's birth was actually a great, great miracle, and that Samuel's mom and dad dedicated him to the service of the Lord. That's what we should do with our children when they are born, right? It's dedicate them to God. And but they actually physically left them at the church. Don't do that. I told the parents every night at Vacation Bible School when they left, you don't have to take the same children home. You just got to take the same amount of children home, right? We just want to make sure that's straight. Well, it wasn't uncommon in that day for them to do that. We saw Jephthah's daughter in the book of Judges was dedicated to serving God. So that was done in those days. And now we're getting to the point where God in His story, we're going to compare Samuel as a boy ministering to the Lord to Eli's sons. Eli is the head priest. He's got two adult sons who are also serving the Lord. And they are a great contrast to each other. So if you're with me, let's start reading 1 Samuel chapter 2, starting at verse 11, it says, "Then Elkanah," that's Hannah's husband, the father of Samuel, "went to his house in Ramah, but the child," of course this is Samuel, the boy Samuel, "he ministered to the Lord before Eli the priest." So here we see that Samuel is ministering to the Lord. Now in verse 12, we compare Samuel to Eli's sons who are hindering the ministering of the Lord. Look what it says in verse 12. It says, "Now the sons of Eli," we'll find their names here in just a little bit, "they were corrupt." Circle that one first. And here's the second part. "And they did not know the Lord." Let's read a few verses, then I'll come back. Verse 13. "And the priest's custom with the people was that when anyone made an offer to sacrifice, the priest's servants would come with a three-pronged flesh hook in his hand while the meat was boiling. Then he would thrust it into the pan or the kettle or the cauldron or the pot." That's the Amplified Bible. Okay. "And the priest would take for himself all that the flesh hook would brought up. So they did in Shiloh to all the Israelites who came there." Verse 15. "Also, before they burned the fat, the priest's servants would come and say to the men who were sacrificing, 'Give meat for roasting to the priest, for he will not take boiled meat from you, but raw.' And if the man said to him, 'They should really burn the fat first, then you can take as much as your heart desires,' he would answer him and say, 'No, but you must give it now, and if not, I will take it by force. Verse 17, therefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for the men abhorred the offering of the Lord. Let's stop there, and let's begin our comparison between Samuel and these sons of Eli. Notice, first of all, in verse 12, they were corrupt. If you're reading the original King James, it says they were of the sons of Belial, or the sons of Satan, right? They're called worthless men in chapter 30. They had no value. And here's why they had no value. Here's why they were worthless. The second point is they did not know the Lord. Now, this is very interesting because they're serving as priests. They were brought up in the high priest's home. They were offering sacrifices, but they had no personal knowledge of God. You know, I got thinking about this, and it was very troubling to me. But we see some modern-day sons of Eli in the New Testament and even in churches today. So a couple troubling verses of Scripture. I'm going to have them put on the overhead. Would you put Matthew 15:8 up? Jesus is speaking. He says, these people draw near to me with their mouth. They're confessing they know Jesus. They're confessing they're people of God and all this stuff. And they honor me with their lips. They're singing the songs. They're doing all that stuff. But their heart is far from me. And then Titus chapter 1 verse 16 reads, they profess to know God, but in their works, how they behave, what they do, they deny God, being abominable, disobedient, and therefore disqualified for every good work. You know, it's one thing to play religion and to say you know God, but has your heart been changed? Have you been touched by the Lord? Touched by the Lord. I got to take a little side street here because this is very heavy on my heart. As we were singing, as we were starting this morning, this has nothing to do with our scripture here, but I think someone needs to hear this. You guys ever pray, you ever feel discouraged, you feel burdened down, you feel weighted, and you say, God, lift this weight from me? Am I talking to anyone today? And you come to church and you feel like that weight's been taken away for a little while. But then you leave church, and does it feel like the weight come back? Let's be honest here. I think this is for somebody. Anyone ever experienced that? You know what I'm talking about? Right? I think God kind of showed me something this morning, and that is we keep praying, God, will you lift this burden from me? Will you lift this weight off of my shoulders? When we should be praying, God, would you destroy this? Because you see, that weight can come back down. Saul in the Old Testament, he would be weighted down with burdens, and David would come and sing the praises of God, and it would lift from his shoulders, right? And he would have relief for a short while. But what happened? He would move from the presence of God, and the weight would return back. Friends, God has come to destroy those weights, to break those chains, to destroy and knock down the walls so that they can't come back. Is this making sense to anybody? I was watching the little video, and we were all chuckling at the great actors, and but they were acting out the little thing of Lazarus. And I got thinking of the story of Lazarus. Jesus came and spoke life into him, right? And he came out of the tomb. But what was the problem with Lazarus? He now had new life. He had another chance. But he was bound in grave clothes, right? Friends, we need to drop the grave clothes. A lot of us are picking it back up and putting it back on when God wants to destroy them. He wants to set us free. You see, one of the problems am I ministering to anyone other than me here? Okay, one of the things that's missing in churches, and I want to bring it back here, and that is deliverance. Have you guys ever been through a deliverance service? We pray and we agree and we bless each other, but when have we engaged in spiritual warfare to break strongholds? God has given us the power and the authority through the name of Jesus Christ so that we don't have to walk around in grave clothes. And today he wants to break that. Today he wants to give healing. Today he wants to give deliverance and freedom. Make sense? Well, I think a part of that, a good preacher can bring it all back to the scriptures here. Sons of Eli were doing religious things, but their hearts were far from God. Friends, maybe it's time to examine ourselves. Are we just playing with Jesus? Or are we getting serious about it? Samuel was a boy, and he was doing more for the kingdom of God than grown men who were trained. What was the difference? Samuel had a heart for God. David's the only man in the Bible who said that God said this about David. He is a man after my own heart. Isn't that a great, wouldn't you like God say that about you? But the problem is, most of us are men and women after God's hand and not his heart. We're after God's blessing and not his heart. We're after the benefits of being a Christian, but we're not after God's heart. Does that make sense? Friends, we need to start laying it all down and getting serious with God. You guys going to come back next week? Okay. Let's get back to our story. These crooked priests, in verse 13 it says, their custom, this was not in the law. The law stated in Leviticus 7:34 that part of the priest's wages were that when the offerings were brought, whether that was an ox, whether it was a sheep, whether it was a bird, their part for their wages, for their pay, which was acceptable, there's nothing wrong with that, but they were to receive the breast and the right thigh of the animal. Right? Here we see these crooked priests, they were taking whatever they wanted. Right? That went against the law of God. So the first thing that we see that was bad about them is they did not care about the word of God. They were ripping off God's sacrifices, right? And it says that they did not know God. I just kind of went off on my whole little thing about knowing God and how we have to have a personal relationship with God. But look at verses 15 and 16 here. It says, also they burned the fat. Now this isn't promoting a gym or a diet exercise. The priest's servants, now here's another thing they got wrong. The priests were supposed to be doing all this stuff. They weren't supposed to be having servants do it for them, right? If you're having someone else do all your praying for you, all your repenting for you, all your crying for you, you don't have a relationship with God, right? That's why when Moses died, God told Joshua, Moses is dead. Moses did everything for the people. And now God tells Joshua, you got to do this now. You guys got to do this, right? So here they had people doing what they were supposed to do. And before they made the sacrifices, before they burned the fat, what does that mean? Well, once again, in the law, in the book of Leviticus chapter 3, starting at verse 3 going through the chapter, is before they brought a sacrifice, whatever that sacrifice was, the first thing they had to do was drain the blood. That was the life force, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. Jesus' blood had to spill in order to pay for our sin, right? That had to be spilled first and poured out. Then the fat was burned, and God said, the fat is mine. And the reason for that is because once they burned the fat and spilled the blood, now, only after that was done, was the sacrifice considered holy and acceptable to God. And here the priests are saying, they're holding the worship of God, the sacrifice of God, ransom. They're saying, we're not going to do anything until you give us the good stuff. Until I get my $54 million jet, I ain't going to pray for you. Anyone tracking with me here? There are ministers holding the gospel hostage today. You guys have heard the stories. I get called, not a lot, but sometimes frequently, to come to hospitals to pray for people. Because they've asked their church to send someone to the hospital, but because they don't tithe or because they're not there every Sunday, they won't send no one to the hospital. That's holding the ministry hostage, right? That's a son of Belial. Playing religion, but not serving the Lord, right? Ministering to anybody today? They're saying, you give us the fat first, or we won't even make the sacrifices. But look at the result of all of this. Here they're calling the sacrifices of no good. I have this little saying that I wrote down. I saw it this week, thought it was neat. Some ministers have a wealth of thoughts, while some ministers only have thoughts of wealth. Some ministers are only interested in feeding the flock, while some ministers are only interested in fleecing the flock. Hophni and Phinehas, that's these guys' name, they cared less about God and less about God's people. They showed a complete contempt for God over and over. Well, here they threaten the people in verse 16, you don't give it to us, we'll take it by force. We won't let you worship God. And look at verse 17. Therefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, because look at the results. This is the result of what perverted priests do. For men abhorred the offering of the Lord. They created in the people a hatred to serve and to sacrifice to God. Because of the corrupt priesthood, people didn't want to go to church. We see pulpits being prostituted weekly in our world, right? And because of that, people don't want anything to do with God because of the ministers. Well, look at the comparison in verse 18. But Samuel, remember, he's still a little boy. He ministered before the Lord, even as a child, wearing the linen ephod. So he's doing the things that a priest should be doing, even though he's just a lad. Verse 19, moreover, his mother used to make him a little robe and bring it to him year by year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifices. So she would bring him new clothes every year as he grew. Verse 20, and Eli would bless Elkiah and his wife, Hannah, and say, the Lord give you descendants from this woman for the loan that has been given to the Lord. Then they would go on their own way. I believe we see in this verse here that Eli really, really loved Samuel. His boys were kind of lost cause, but here he had Samuel. Verse 21, check this out. And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived, and she bore three sons and two daughters. Remember, she was barren up until she dedicated her firstborn to the Lord. What's the point here? Point here is that you can't outgive God. Can't outgive God. So she had five more children. Verse 22. Now Eli was very old. We learn in chapter 4 that he's 98 years old. That is quite advanced. And he heard everything that his sons had did to all of Israel. So the people had complained. They weren't doing this in secret. But we're going to find out Eli doesn't do anything to correct the behavior. Here's what they're doing. How they lay with the women who assembled at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. So here we see one of the things they're doing is they're having sexual relations with these women who, number one, are not their wives, and number two, they're dedicated to the service of God. And they're taking advantage of them. And everyone knows about it. Verse 23, so he said to them, why do you do such a thing? For I hear of your evil dealings from all the people. This wasn't done in secret, and they're coming to the high priest saying, you got to do something about your kids. But he doesn't do anything. Verse 24, he says, no, my sons, for it is not a good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people transgress. Once again, that's a dangerous thing. Jesus said, if you make one of my little ones stumble, it'd be better for you that a millstone be tied around your neck and you be cast into the depths of the sea. That's a scary, scary thing, right? Verse 25 says, if one man sins against another, God will judge him. But if one man sins against the Lord, who will intercede for him? You're the priest. Who's going to intercede for you? You have no one. Nevertheless, they did not heed the voice of their father because the Lord desired to kill them. Those are some strong, strong words, right? Wow. Got a little good news. We have an intercessor. And his name is Jesus Christ. Amen. Now that doesn't give us permission to go do crazy things. You guys with me? Verse 27, I'm going to speed through this because we're about out of time and I want to respect your time. Verse 27, then a man of God, this is a prophet, we don't know his name, but he comes to Eli and he says to him, thus says the Lord, did I not clearly reveal myself to the house of your father when they were in Egypt and in Pharaoh's house? Did I not choose him? The him here would be Aaron. Out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon my altar, to burn incense, and to wear an ephod before me. And did I not give to the house of your father, this would be the tribe of Levi, all the offerings of the children of Israel made by fire? Now notice this in verse 29. So why do you kick, the original word there is scorn, at my sacrifices? and my offerings which I have commanded in my dwelling place, and you have honored your sons more than me, to make yourselves fat with the best of all the offerings of my people. What he's saying there is, you didn't believe that I had your best interest in my mind. You weren't happy and content with what I provided. You had to take more. You had to make yourself fat upon the offerings of the people instead of trusting me. See? Verse 30, therefore the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father would walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, far be it from me, for those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Would you underline that in your Bible? Never forget that those who honor God, God will honor. Those who honor God, God will honor. Behold, verse 31, the days are coming that I will cut off your arm, that's a symbol of strength, and the arm of your father's house, so that you will not be an old man in your house. One of the curses of God for disobedience is that you would not have a long life. One of the blessings of God for obedience is a long and fruitful life. Verse 32, and you will see an enemy in my dwelling place. Where's God's dwelling place? Well, the tabernacle, the temple. From Eli, even before Eli, but including Eli and his sons, there was perversion in the service of God. This will culminate, as we see in the book of Revelation, with the ultimate Antichrist offering a perverted offering in the temple yet to be built. Verse 33, but any of your men whom I do not cut off from my altar shall consume your eyes and grieve your heart, and all the descendants of your house shall die in the flower of their age. So again, they won't grow to be a ripe old age. Now this shall be a sign to you that will come upon your two sons on Hophni and Phinehas, that in one day they shall die, both of them. And this is going to happen in the chapter 4. God says, and then I'll rise up for myself a faithful priest. Now we know that will begin with Samuel and is a precursor all the way to the Lord Jesus Christ. I will raise up a faithful priest who shall do according to what is in my heart and in my mind, and I will build in him a sure house, and he shall walk before my anointed forever. And it shall come to pass that everyone who is left in your house will come and bow down to him for a piece of silver and a morsel of bread and say, please put me in one of the priestly positions that I may eat bread in peace. They stole from God to make themselves fat, but they will be begging for a simple morsel of bread in the future. Isn't that an uplifting way to stop? Some hard things in this scripture, but very necessary things for the people of God to hear. Friends, all you have to do is watch the news, read the newspaper. Does anyone read newspapers anymore? Do they still print newspapers anymore? As long as there's bird cages, they'll print newspapers. But we can see the craziness going on in the world. And friends, it's a time that God is calling his people to be a committed people, to be a trustworthy people, and to be an honoring people to him. Days of playing church aren't going to cut it, because those weights would just keep coming back. God wants to break the chains. God wants to give deliverance. And just like Paul and Silas, chains were broken, locks were disabled, walls fell down so they could come out of prison. That's what God wants to do to you. I don't know what your prison is. I don't know what your chains are. But I know who can free you from those. Friends, don't be satisfied with the temporary relief when we're in here singing. Okay? Your Sunday should affect your Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, right? And if it's not, today God wants to change that. Today he wants to break that power, that weight over you. Make sense? Are you guys going to come back next week? Kids aren't singing. It's just going to be... All right. I was going to say no cuteness on the stage, but the worship team will be here. Let's stand. Let's get ready to pray. Worship team, join me up here, would you please? If you're visiting with me, this is really not a normal service for us. So give us another chance, would you? But what we do now is we open the altars. The worship team is going to lead us in a song. And we open the altars for prayer. And that's where the Holy Spirit does some work. And it's at this time that if you need a touch from the Lord, now's your time. If you need to be anointed with oil, this is when we do it. If you need just prayer of agreement for something, Gilbert and Andrew will be up here with me. We'd love to pray with you. While that's going on, we invite you to be in an attitude of worship and an attitude of prayer while you're there. Let's remember that we are in the sanctuary of God, and prayer is going on. The Holy Spirit's ministering. So if you have to leave, we understand, but just be respectful of the sanctuary as you leave. And don't forget, when we close in here, you are invited. The youth invite you next door to help them out with their camp fundraiser, and please take advantage of that, okay? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for challenging us. And Lord, Father, in spite of me, would you please, Holy Spirit, minister to every heart? Lord, I know I'm not qualified to give your word out. I know I'm not qualified, and I don't have the words, Lord, to properly speak what I believe you're wanting to minister today. But Holy Spirit, you can, in spite of me, you can minister. And Lord, I just believe that today there's a lot of weights that need to be destroyed. Father, I believe that today in this sanctuary, although there's just a handful of us, Lord, I believe there are people who are playing religion and desperately need a relationship with you. Father, today would you work great and mighty miracles. Father, today I speak healing and wellness. Lord, today, Father, we take off the grave clothes. Father, today we stand with our brothers and sisters who might be struggling. Father, today we allow you, Holy Spirit, to minister in a powerful, powerful way. Lord, we seek you and we need you. And Father, we trust you. So as the children sang today, game on. Holy Spirit, it's game on. We're ready. So help us, would you please? In Jesus' name, amen.